Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 3 o'clock hour. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Leap 36, Leroy Butler in the house, as well as Anthony Mandela, and intern Austin, Texas, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. The Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan while you're there. Use the hashtag Big Throwback. Hear who we're listening to next week on Big Throwback, a Throwback Thursday. John Mellencamp, who will be a part of Farm Aid out at Alpine Valley. Alpine Valley this weekend will be Jimmy Buffett. John Cougar Mellencamp. I didn't know that was actually his name until you guys brought that up to me. So that's more of an age issue thing. All I know is Jack and Diane. So that's
a jam.
That's a jam. That's a jam that stands the test of time. Also, Isley Brothers and Doobie Brothers. That's Leroy Butler and my suggestions. Go with one of those or one of your own at 1057FM The Fan. Use the hashtag Big Throwback. Otherwise, as Leroy Butler says, no hashtag.
No vote.
No vote. And you got a chance at a four-pack of State Fair tickets, so you're going to want to make sure that your vote counts for that. You got to love the State Fair. I'm going to be a part of the State Fair.
I just love it.
The details on that are coming out here pretty soon.
Nice.
But it's going to be something that everybody's going to want to see. Even you'll enjoy that part.
I love it. I'll do some stuff with my guy, Steve, from Statewide Fencing. He does all the fencing down there.
Another friend named Steve that's not Steve.
That's the one giving me the tickets.
Oh, okay.
But he's not his favorite, Steve. But he still gave him tickets.
He's climbing the charts. I got 35 kids that I mentor, and they want to volunteer down there.
Now, that's cool.
He's going to help. They're going to help Steve put the fencing up and all, and Kathleen helped be a part of it. So when a kid comes to you and say, I want to do something that's work, I get all excited. And that's a lot of kids to say, I want to volunteer.
And then for them to say that I'm going to work and not get paid for it.
Right. And I want to do some work, and I'm going to have them do some stuff above the clouds. And Cops and Kids.
What's Above the Clouds? I'm sorry.
It's another a charity that does a lot of great things for kids. When you want to start dancing and stuff like that. The arts.
Nice. Cool.
And I said, man, I just love y'all. I think you guys are doing this so I can get you stuff. Because I got them all this Prime account so they can do that Prime thing a couple days ago.
Amazon Prime Day? Yeah.
So I got all these boxes showing up with the smiling faces all over my house. Why didn't y'all send this to y'all house? Well, my mom and dad don't want no more boxes coming.
It's understandably so. Smart kids. The youth of America is a smart generation.
One of the kids,
sure,
though, Steve, you'll like this. He says, I said, what are you going to get on your Prime account? He said, the Brewers, a 5-game winning streak.
I like that kid.
I said, why you pick 5 games? I don't know. It just popped in my head.
Too bad it wasn't 15. The Brewers could enjoy a 15-game winning streak. That's for sure.
They're 2-game?
Call it a 2-game winning streak.
Okay,
it can be
so
three tonight.
Mode and he'll be happy.
It can be a 3-gamer tonight with Zach Davies on the mound. I'll get you set with the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show, 7:30 tonight on The Fan. And then Baby Shade and Blind postgame show, myself and Tim Allen, take your calls after the game here on The Fan. Sparky, this conversation arose with Keston Hiura going down and then coming back up. Now, I tried to send you yesterday picture of the screenshot in 15 games since Keston Hiura came back up.
Didn't work.
His batting average was .357. His OPS is over 1,000, and he's got 9 home runs in the major leagues, not counting his 19 that he had at AAA San Antonio this year. So with that being said, and what you've seen Keston Hiura do since being called back up, and Adam McKelvey or Todd Rosiak asked while the team was in Pittsburgh of Craig Counsell, is this stint better than his first one? And Craig adamantly said, this ain't a stint. He's going to be here. So he's going to be a member of this team, and we need him going forward. What has been David Stern's biggest mistake this year? Because it feels like sending Keston Hiura down the first time is going to be close to the top of the list.
That's fine. And when I went off on the air saying this is stupid, I was told, oh, we got to give Travis Shaw some more opportunities.
Got to give him one more chance.
He's the vet. We got to give him more opportunities. So you did. You continued to suck, and you wasted away however long it was before you finally broadcasting here back up. What was it, a month? I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. It was ridiculous when they sent him down, and it was further ridiculous as long as he was down there. Now, to be fair, I didn't think they'd call him up until August. I thought Travis Shaw was going to get the run all the way to the trade deadline.
I told you it
wasn't
going to take that long.
So they pulled the trigger on Shaw going down sooner than I thought.
True.
Did you read the piece from San Antonio where Travis Shaw said he was livid that he got sent down and was all bent out of shape about it? And it took him up. He didn't go down right away. He stayed up here for a couple days to get his mind right before he went down there to go down play. Like, really? Did you not realize how bad you've been?
It's not that stunning for me knowing the situation and knowing the situation that Travis Shaw's been in, but it's disappointing.
We're all competitive, right? So, I mean, I can be upset. I understand, like, being disappointed that I got sent down because I can't produce. I get that. But being mad at the point where you need a couple days, like, you thought you got screwed or something, that's ridiculous. Like, look at what you've done. You haven't done anything. You should have been down there to begin with.
And you look at the timetable. It was the 81 game mark. It was the halfway point in the season.
They gave him way more than enough time. So anyhow, for me, it's clear as day, Keston Hiura. I was mad when they sent him down. I said the dude was a stud. He's clearly a stud. That's not even debatable anymore. And now it's just a matter of moving him up into the lineup where he belongs at 3 or 1 if that's where Tim Allen wants to play him.
I like him at 1-2.
Fine, Tim Allen wants him. I'm fine with 1. Mm-hmm. But he needs to be up at the top of the lineup for multiple reasons. 1, if you're going to put him at the top, you give Yelich another guy he can drive in. So I'm good with that. If you put him at 3, you give somebody an opportunity in Keston Hiura to drive in Yelich and or Kane in that situation. And 3, and maybe most importantly, to get him more consistent at-bats every single game. Because if you're in the top 3, you're going to get more at-bats than if you're batting 6 or 7 every game. So that's the other reason. And at this point, Christian Yelich and then Keston Hiura, those are your two best hitters on this baseball team. Period. He's the second best hitter on this team. He was the last time he was here, and he still is the second best player on this baseball team as offensively, as far as offense goes. Defensively, not so good.
That's the thing.
What are you going to do?
It's going to go back and forth.
He's good enough offensively. Yeah. I can forget about the defense.
We're going to do the same thing with Grandal. He's good enough offensively. We'll forget about it.
Offense offense has slumped majorly for Yasmani Grandal in the last couple of weeks. Actually, the Yasmani Grandal batting average in the last month is under .170.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
And Keston Hiura is close to almost .350.
What was Hira's, before they sent him down, what was his batting average?
.281,
right,
with about 5 homers, so he's got 4 since coming back up.
So since he came back, he's playing better, right?
Playing like dynamite.
Worked perfectly. Everything happened.
My God, Grandal.
Everything
Holy
happened.
Holy cow. I'm looking at Grandal's numbers. He had a .321 average for the month of April and a .402 on base.
Right or left side?
Total at bats.
Okay.
Right. .321 average, .402 on base, .568 slugging in April.
On fire.
Right. Yeah. In May, he dropped from .321 to .271. Mm-hmm. On base stayed the same, though, and slugging stayed the same. Then we go to June. He went from .271 batting average to .241 batting average. Mm-hmm. On base went from .402 to .369. Slugging went from .565 to .530. On base and slugging still decent. Now we come to July, where now he's hitting .143 for the month with a .333 on base and .314 slugging percentage.
Yeah, he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Okay. I really like numbers when they work.
If he's hurt, that's fine. If that's what the problem is, then sit him down, put him on the IL, and let's get him right then.
Or what they also will do is they're going to start playing the splits a little bit more behind the dish because Manny Pena against left-handed pitching is outstanding, hitting well over .300, and Yasmani's hitting closer to .200. The cool thing about Baseball Reference is there's one point where you can type in the last 35 days, the splits, and it'll generate you the perfect lineup. Right now, what that lineup would do in the last 2 months, if you punch it in, would be Keston Hiura, Christian Yelich, and my man Eric Thames, the 1-2-3, because of their batting average and the slash lines they've put up. So offensively, yes, Keston Hiura has been dynamite. For me, Leroy, my biggest mistake isn't Keston Hiura. I think there's a mishandling of the pitching staff that David Stearns has done. But for you, what has been David Stearns' biggest mistake here in 2019 as the Brewers sit 3 games over .500? 414-799-1250 if you want to join the conversation as well.
It's kind of hard to say, but I would have found a way to keep Dubon up here and get him some at-bats. Because I know Arcia's been banged up, but he's fine now. The guy's RC is amazing defensively, man. The guy's amazing defensively. But I wanted to see Dubon up here. But you know what? There's no really the guy's been hitting for so long. I'm willing to give him a pass so far about mistakes because I don't know what him and Council are on the same page with the bullpen at this particular time.
And, like, the talent level that they have is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, because I really feel like that when we had this thing a couple of days ago, like, do you think the Brewers are letting you down? And I said it wasn't the Brewers front office, it's the players. Some of the players were slumping. You know, as we talked about DeShaw, the Aguilar, even Grandal now, the all-star. I mean, those guys, if they play up to what they think they can play, the pitching ain't never going to be an issue. But, and I probably would have put Kane on a DL by now to get him healthy. And I don't know where that comes from.
Sure.
But I'd have put him on a 10-day DL, get the thumb right, the hamstring.
I'd be with you there as well.
Just now you can put Custin here at the leadoff spot while he's gone and then bring that back. I would like to see something more. Cause I like Kane, but by the time they get ready to do that, Kane may get started going again.
Well, and that was the situation.
He was banged up here about a few weeks ago. He was banged up.
A few weeks ago when he goes and gets the cryogenic therapy on his thumb, similar to Bronny does.
Yeah.
And Lo Kane's one of those dudes. He's never going to sit out in the lineup willingly. He wants to play every single day that he can.
But he could have used 10 days at that point.
He definitely could have. And I think the Brewers as well, that was in the run where you really start the slide that went on the 9-18 run in 27 games where they could have used some offensive production outside of Lorenzo
Kane. I got one more. Real small one. I think Stearns missed the window to trade Grandal at a point when he was on fire to get the pitching that you wanted. And I don't necessarily know who that would have been, but it was a window there that he was, I mean, switch hitter, power, everything you need. Now, that puts a lot of pressure on Pena.
For sure it does.
It does. And now you'd have to maybe go get, well, Maldonado's already signed. But love to have him back him up and trade Gundahl for some frontline pitching would have been good. Those are moves that fans like. But he's at the poker table, Steve, and he's just sitting there. And to his mind, I got two kings. I don't know who got two aces. So I'm not going to be real aggressive and go out there and get stung.
What has been David Stern's biggest mistake of 2019? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan got one here from our buddy Brew Crew Fan OK, who says, this isn't going to be popular, and I'm sure I will be blasted for it, but I think spending so much money on Grandal and not leaving money on the table to bring in better pitching is Stern's biggest mistake this year. Also, sending Hira back to AAA. That's Brew Crew Fan OK tweeting at 105.7 FM.
Those are two good ones. Those are two good ones.
Wow. Still not the one that I'm thinking of, though. Like, if I'm going to spend the money on Yasmani Grandal, that money was already spent. You brought somebody in 1 year, $18 million. And like you said, you could have flipped him as well for something if you thought at the time it was high. Right now, the value is a little bit lower, but
sure. Yeah, numbers aren't that great. Now people have been, they may wait.
But the Mets were willing to give him 3 years at $54 million. If you think that that's going to be what gets a deal done for one of their starting pitchers, that could be it. 414-799-1250. You want to join the conversation? What has been David Stern's biggest mistake in 2019? I want to see if anybody else can get mine, but I'll have mine for you after the break and after Leroy Butler tells you about some great windows at Pella Windows and Doors.
Pella Windows and Doors, guys, they have so many selections. Unbelievable. I mean, just go to PellaWI.com today. They got somebody, a live representative that's available to chat with you, to go through all the designs and deals and everything that they have. They have something called the Pella Passion. They have a passion for this. How many companies can actually say that? Of course they want you to.
Yeah. 105.7 FM, The Fan, would be really the only one I could think of.
Well, only when I'm here. When I'm not, I don't know what y'all doing. Don't really care, to be honest with you. But
cool. All right.
Back to this Pella Reed.
Sure.
Again, the Pella Passion, Gina's trying to pass that along to you. They have so many great ways to save money. 7 years, 2.99%. Or you can say, listen, no money down. You know, no payments, nothing to June of 2020. I mean, if that's not passion, I don't know what is. Give them a phone call, 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. 6600 and tell them Leroy Butler and the birthday boy of yesterday, Gary Ellerson, sent you.
And you're the birthday boy of tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah, but I won't be here. I'll be doing some other stuff. Later.
Be celebrating your birthday. Like
I think I'm going to take my son over to the Johnson Water Park thing because he's already been there like a million times.
Well, there you go. Now you know where Leroy is going, so bring birthday presents. You know he's going there. So hang out with your birthday presents and wait for Leroy to show up. What do you want?
I'll be at Pick and Save this weekend. I'll tell you that later.
What do you want for your birthday?
I'll tell you that later.
Hey, what do you want for your birthday?
Yeah, I'm simple. I am
gift cards.
What do you like?
I like gift cards.
I mean, Pick and Save takes care of you, so you don't need that.
No, I like more Pick and Save cards.
But you like Target. So, like, Target gift cards would be good.
Oh, I like Target Boutique.
Yeah.
And some Wendy's gift like cards that. So you can get your Leap 36 meal whenever
like
you roll
that.
Up.
Yeah, it is.
He died. Like 36!
You know what I
try.
Really like?
It doesn't work.
Steve, you know what I like?
Doesn't work
kids,
for me.
Handwritten notes by kids. That just melts me.
Good. I'll write you a note.
That's
a
what
pen.
I'm going to get
anybody
you to.
Write me a handwritten
note. Here you go, Stevie.
I'll write you a note.
I'm going to use it after you.
I
listen to some Foo Fighters on the way out.
Into it.
Throwback
like
Thursday
that.
On the fan.
Mr. Butler.
But I break loose. My head is giving me life for death. One night in a bar, I'm a shaking hand. There was a 92 decibel rocking band. And the music's good and the music's loud. And the singer's sound, the sound of the crowd. Yeah, let me
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, the Foo Fighters on a Throwback Thursday. A little AC/DC. Now, this is going to make me sound kind of petty. Do the Foo Fighters, now I know they got a nice lineup. I've listened to the Foo Fighters
nice
for quite some time.
Yeah.
But good old KS, who puts together our playlists here for Throwback Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a few covers. Is that weird for you when a band, like a good band, is covering other band's songs?
Ultimate flattery.
Awesome. I love when you go to a concert.
Yes.
And you hear
that's
a group
amazing.
Do somebody else's group, like
Eric
Churchgott's that we were to. He
I remember
did a
you
bunch,
saying that.
He did a whole, I don't know how long it was, quite a while at the end of just one cover song after another cover song after another cover song. So
I
that,
love when people do cover songs.
Yeah, a big fan of it. Yeah. Big fan of it. Yeah,
now, Train. I love Train.
Yes,
Train.
Same.
They do. I think they do a lot of Led Zeppelin stuff.
I would prefer covers than new music. Like if a band,
really?
if I'm at a concert and the band's like, hey. We're going to play some stuff from our new album.
Yeah. And you don't have it.
And
you
don't
know
it.
You're
right.
Like, awesome. See ya. I'm going to go to
you
got to
be a hardcore fan to know their new stuff. But
right. But like, if they're like, hey, we're going to cover some AC/DC. All right, cool. Yeah. I'll be here. I'll be back in black. That's fine with me. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
What has been David Stern's biggest mistake in 2019? 414-799-1250.
James tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan.
What James say?
Letting our pitching and hitting coaches go.
Oh, yeah.
I may have screwed up with my answer.
You'll see Darnell Coles tonight as the hitting
five,
coach
Steve, if you want to
of
do that.
The Arizona Diamondbacks.
We talked about that
yesterday. I was pretty surprised that it wasn't your boy.
I can change it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, getting rid of Derek Johnson is definitely the biggest mistake they've made.
Well, give me three now. You gave me two because Keston Hira, not many people can argue with that one at that time.
Keston Hira is two. I was all over that one, too. Both of those I was all over and nobody listened.
But now, how much of the decision to let DJ go to the Reds do you think was David Stern's? How much of it was
pay him?
Yeah, but if you're going to overpay, that has to be a move that you clear with ownership, right?
Did they overpay in Cincinnati?
Well, they gave him a whole bunch of years. That's just unheard of in baseball.
That
looks pretty good to me in year one.
Sure, it does.
Looks like a damn good move in year one. He's got a bunch of retreads in that rotation. He doesn't have
Sonny Gray, an all-star, his
right?
boy.
Mm-hmm. And you were making fun of Sonny Gray at the beginning of the year. Oh, all-star Sonny Gray. I bet he strikes out like 20 against the Brewers.
He's only 12.
Yeah.
Only 12 across eight.
It felt like 20.
It felt like everybody.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
Now, again, they didn't want to give him the money, and they didn't want to give him multiple years. And what the Reds did was unheard of in the industry. I get it. But do you want also that speaks of? That speaks of that organization not thinking the pitching coach was that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, everybody gives him all this love, but seriously, we got a guy down here these young kids know. We'll he'll be fine. We're putting young kids up anyhow.
He's still like a Woodruff All-Star.
They all love Hookie.
And Davies.
Yeah, Hookie will have him figured out. Well, guess what? Yeah. Hookie hadn't done much of anything other than Woodruff.
No, Hookie, his starting pitcher's third in ERA in the last month. There you go. Yeah.
Good job.
There you go.
Good job. See? You got that. That's good.
2.77 ERA. He does have a good goatee. It looks like Touch of Gray just gave him a bat loaded it up. Bruce is on the northwest side.
Hey,
what's been David Stern's biggest mistake in 2019, Bruce?
The biggest mistake was when Knievels was out for the year, he should have picked up a relief pitcher. And I'm not talking about Wilson or some other of the trash he's picked up. I'm talking about a real guy. And by the way, think about this. Jeremy Jeffers, how good has he been this year? We don't know how healthy he really is. Mm-hmm. They're not saying much. But I'll tell you right now, I think Jeremy Jeffers is not the guy he was a year ago. That's obvious. But the point is, he's not, you know, how much did, when we won a game against Frisco last week, 5-4, I mean, even Tim and I were on the same thing. They said, boy, it was nervous when Jeremy Jeffers is, and you should have to get nervous about a guy because maybe he's healthy or maybe he's not like he was a year ago. But I'm just saying that's one of the things. I got a question for you, Sparky, about our first base thing. Do you really think that since they're playing four right-handers, you think that what's his name should be not play a game other than pinch hitting Aguilar? I mean, he's hitting the ball like heck. Even yesterday, when he was hitting against the right-hander, he hit the ball to the center field. The guy caught it 2 feet from going out.
Yeah, Bruce, I'm the wrong guy to talk to about this because I don't buy into all this splits crap that they do in
baseball.
And
he doesn't like Eric Thames, Bruce.
And I'm not a huge Eric Thames guy, but Eric Thames has played well this year. I'll give him credit. But, yeah, no, I would play Aguilar still, yeah. I mean, play Aguilar a couple games, play Thames a couple games. I really don't care. To sit Aguilar
that's
not start
right,
him for four games, I don't like the idea at all. Maybe that's what they're going to do, and then they'll stop all momentum of Aguilar, and if he goes the other way again, they'll be like, what happened? And they won't know.
And it'll be stunning as somebody cools off when they don't get regular run for three or four days.
Bruce.
Appreciate it, Bruce.
You have to play him.
Bruce just got hit it right on the head for me. It was not replacing Corey Knebel in the situation that he was in earlier in the season because you not only had the injury to Corey Knebel, who had to go and have his UCL redone with Tommy John surgery, but at the same time, you had Jeremy Jeffers, who also had a tired arm, and that was the opportunity for you to go and get guys in the back end of the bullpen. And Anthony Swarzak was picked up for a low-level AA player in May that was able to be had
you
from Seattle. I was hot on Anthony Swarzak wasn't brought back
in. When he got Gio, I thought that would help out.
It did, and it stabilized the rotation for a couple of days. But in that bullpen,
it seemed like he's always trying to fix it.
He's trying to fix it. But I think in that back end of the bullpen, not having somebody behind Josh Hader that you can deploy him in the sixth, seventh inning for those six, seven outs when you need him, or even the two or three when you see the meat of the order, that's hampered this team more than anything else I could see this year because it limits the amount of times that you can bring in Josh Hader and shorten the game. John's in Caledonia. He's up on the fan.
Hey, John.
John.
Hello.
Hi,
hey, buddy.
John. You're on the radio.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake the Brewers made in 2019 was not re-signing Wade Miley. Can you imagine what he would mean to this starting rotation with the wins he has now in Houston? And he was a workhorse for those guys going down the stretch in the championship series.
And, you're right. And I think he only signed for like $3.5 million or something.
Yeah,
like
real cheap.
Yep, real cheap.
You know, he signed for very low. You know, that's a slap in the face to that man and this organization. Who they say they want to win championships here. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I think they want more butts in the seats and they want championships.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call.
That's a good one, though.
I can't say Wade Miley because I'd be a hypocrite. I said that it was lightning in a bottle type stuff last year. Derek Johnson isn't coming back. I'm not even going to attempt to do this again with Wade Miley. And you look at Wade Miley's numbers this year because I just called him up to look at him. 3.32 ERA, 7-4 WHIP. That's walks, blitz, hits, divided by innings pitch with a 1.14. All of those numbers way better than what his career numbers were, similar to last year. In the month of April, he had a 2.96 ERA. In the month of May, a 3.25 ERA. In the month of June, a 3.76 ERA. So he was getting worse as the season went on.
Now he's come back and pitched fairly decent here the last couple of starts in July, 2.84 ERA in two starts so far in July.
See, let's go back to Derek Johnson for a second.
Yeah.
If you knew you were going to put the babies in the rotation, you
had to have
probably had to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But you probably had a conversation with Hookie saying, it's your time now. We think Derek Johnson's taking us as far as he could take us. We're just looking for something new. Then this big contract comes out. Hey, they're going to pay me X. Can you come anywhere near that? No, we can't. Okay, at least I have a replacement for them. Because I think it's although he's been with these guys in AAA or whatever, it's still hard to give him three young guys like that and I say, okay, now go make it work.
Well, and also, too, with the way that the Brewers use their starting rotation, it's difficult for Chris Hook to be able to get common ground, I think, at some points with his starters and be able to get traction on success, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're going and pulling your starter in the middle of the fifth inning, sometimes it can be hard to gain footing. That's also a part of the Derek Johnson thing that I still believe
Chase Anderson been throwing that thing good now.
And you go and pull
Chase Anderson been throwing that thing very nice.
Just one walk to Freddie Freeman.
I mean,
a good decision, though. They got out of it.
Right.
They got out of it. Even though then Freddie Peralta came and decided to give everybody a collective heart attack and gave me a grabber over here while I was doing this show.
That guy can go from 78 to 98. That's good stuff.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan. Talk about this with Mark Simon next. What does he think has been David Stern's biggest mistake in 2019? And what does Sports Info Solutions numbers say on Keston Hira, just how good he can be?
And yes, Monty Grindel.
Yes, buddy.
I said to Simon after I looked at those Grindel numbers, I said, oh, by the way, probably want to talk about Grindel, too, when you come on.
Well, Steve's going to harass Mark Simon next on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Foo Fighters on a Throwback Thursday. Our nominees for next week, John Cougar Mellencamp, Jimmy Buffett, will be at Alpine Valley this weekend. Saturday night, going to be one heck of a party. I'll be out there. Isley Brothers and the Doobie Brothers, go with one of those or one of your own. Use the hashtag BigThrowback at 105.7FM, The Fan, on Twitter. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
I can't wait.
Well, you're going to have to wait one more second. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Mark Simon works for Sports Info Solutions. He joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show each week, talking baseball. Mark, I'm going to give you the pleasant greeting before Steve jumps on you about Yasmani Grandal. Appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
Oh, good afternoon. I can't wait. Bring it.
So tell me, what happened? I mean, his numbers. I knew he wasn't playing all that well, but earlier here in the hour, we were talking about the biggest mistake that maybe David Stearns made this year. And I said setting Keston Hira back down the last time was the biggest mistake. And then I forgot that they should have brought back Derek Johnson. So that became my first one, and Hira became the second one. But then people were tweeting about giving Grandal all that money or not trading Grandal earlier when he was actually playing really well offensively. So then I called up the game log to see month by month and didn't realize he was as bad as he actually was at this point. So do you think he's just getting tired or what do you think's happening?
A lot of catchers run into trouble in the second half of the season. That's not, I think, that unusual. I think it's a little bit of a course correction, perhaps. Yeah, I think that's what it is. He was never one of the – it was funny when we were talking about how great he had been, but he was never going to be like this 280 hitter. There's nothing in his track record that said that he was going to be 280 with 30 home runs. So we were enjoying it while it lasted, and then by the end of the year it'll come out to fairly similar to probably other years, maybe a little bit better. He's chasing at a rate a little higher than – last year, and he's been a fairly aggressive hitter, and I imagine that pitchers are now starting to take advantage of that.
What about defensively? How does he rank defensively amongst other catchers in baseball? Because obviously before
They got Yasmani Grandal, and when they got Yasmani Grandal, I was like, oh my God, all the pass balls we saw last year, I don't really want to deal with this all year long. And his credit, really hasn't had that many pass balls throughout the year this year. And you and others were talking about how great he was at framing pitches and so forth, and that's what he really brought to the table. So how is he stacked up with the rest of the league this year?
He hurts in one area, and that's the stolen base prevention. Guys have run on him pretty well. He's thrown out 13 out of 53, which is not a particularly good rate.
No.
But his pitch framing is good. It's not like out of this world, but it's good. It's solid. His pitch blocking is good to acceptable. The thing that is weird is that Pena has been, in the few games that he's caught, they were 13-4 when Pena has caught, or I'm sorry, 13-8, and his numbers have been pretty good. So he's making Yasmani Grandal D look, I guess, a little worse. But I think he's still a very good defensive catcher. You guys don't let 2 to 3 to 4 weeks get in the way of 3 good months.
And Yasmani definitely against left-handed pitching. That's where the biggest issue in his average has been. It's close to like 210 right there for what he's done against left-handed pitching, opening up the door for Manny Pena to get a little bit more playing time.
Right, yeah. I guess that hurts you when you have to face Koshaw and Rich Hill in the postseason.
Right.
But I think over 162 games, you want the guy that's going to be a really good hitter against right-handed pitching. He's still one of the best offensive catchers in baseball. I would take him, and I don't think there are going to be any regrets at the end of the year with 1 year for 18 and change or whatever it was.
Mark, let's talk about something a lot more enjoyable, and that's Keston Hira for what he has done. On the surface right now, the comparisons and the people that are talking about Keston and what he's shown so far, Rick Sweet, the minor league AAA manager for the San Antonio Missions Brewers affiliate, said that he reminded him of a couple players that he had coached. Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr. were the two that he named. Brian Snitker, manager of the Braves yesterday, just said, like, this kind of athlete, the dude, the barrel-to-ball skills that he has, people make busts for those kinds of guys in Cooperstown. What's the barrel-to-ball rate, or is that a quantifiable stat when you look at what Keston Hira has done? Because he just squares up so many baseballs and sprays them all over the place.
Yeah, his hard hit rate is pretty good. I don't have the exact in front of me, but it's pretty solid. I'm looking at kind of like an estimate for that right now, and it's fairly impressive. The 9 home runs, if you got a guy who hits 9 in 124 at-bats, that's a guy who's going to hit 35 to 40. I don't want to say that's quite Pete Alonso, but he's been pretty impressive. It's funny, you guys had asked about guys who were aggressive swingers early in the count against breaking balls, and his name came up when I took a glance at like a leaderboard for that in terms of he had a bunch of hits against those pitches. So that's a good sign. I think that the aggressiveness will be interesting to see how it plays, because like for some guys it plays fine, like Jeff McNeil in New York is a good example. He has a similar rate of like chasing and swinging aggressively in the strike zone, and he's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This guy turns out to be like that with 30 home run power. That's Ryan Sandberg, right? Like that's a superstar kind of player.
That's right, superstar. That's exactly what I think.
Jeff McNeil is one of my favorite players in baseball, too.
Keston Hira is going to be a beast. Okay, so let's talk about something else I wanted to get your thoughts on, because I heard a discussion the other day listening to MLB Radio, and they were talking about, it appeared to them, having watched baseball this year, that hitters were doing really, really well on first pitches that were off-speed pitches this year than in previous years. So on like 0-0 counts, you've seen a curve, seen a changeup, whatever the case may be, and guys are hammering these early count off-speed pitches. Does the data back that up?
So it does in a way, and I looked at like 2019 versus 2014-15-ish for this, and the rate of swinging is a little bit higher. So yes, there are more swings against those pitches. The reason I think you can see it with the eye is because there are a lot more first pitch breaking balls and off speed pitches than there used to be.
Yeah.
That seems to be more of a thing in pitching now, that guys are not going to start off with fastballs and that there's no such thing as fastball count anymore. And so as a result, there are more off speed pitches thrown early. And if you're getting, and it's something on which guys do get a lot of hits, you're going to be able to figure that out with the naked eye. So I would say that, yeah, the data backs up what those guys were talking about.
Mark, what's the data? Obvious. I know the amount of home runs are off the charts, and the hard hit ball rate is one of the cool stats in finding out how barreled up balls are now leaving the ballpark with the launch angle craze going on, where he hits 62 home runs, or Cody Bellinger hits 62 home runs or more. For you, Mark Simon, a guy that's covered baseball and knows baseball inside and out, watched it so many different times in so many different eras, is that more impressive to you in a single-season home run champion than what Barry Bonds did closer to what Roger Maris did back in the 60s?
I knew you were going to ask that. I hate that question. I will say yes, but I will say it with the asterisk that Barry Bonds was still, regardless of what he was doing, was still really great and a very impressive hitter. But, Yelich, the hard hit rate for him now is over 40%, which pretty much means that on a typical night, he's going to get he could get two hard hit balls in a given night, and it wouldn't be that unusual, which is, I think, hard for a major leaguer to do. This run that he's on is one of the all-time great things, I would say, when you put it to history and you put it to Roger Maris and things like that. And it is pretty cool. I hate the question, who's the rightful all-time home run champion, but I will just say that they're both very impressive. The Yelich thing has its own little dot next to it because of the way the ball seems to be jumping off bats these days. But so, he's been fantastic.
So you would also have the asterisk next to the balls, also as many will have because of the performance of Barry Bonds with the performance enhancers beliefs.
Right, and even if you go back to Babe Ruth, when Babe Ruth hit the 60, like nobody else hit any.
Yep.
And admittedly, he was playing in a ballpark that was conducive to what he was doing. But I think Babe Ruth is probably the more impressive than all of them, just to have hit that many home runs.
Well, Mark Simon's baseball knowledge and numbers and sabermetrics that you bring to the Wendy's Big Show each week, that's what's truly impressive. We'll talk next week, Wednesday, 3:48, my man.
Thanks. I hope we have good Brewer things to talk about.
And I also hope that maybe Mickey Callaway can make the Mets some more news, and then we can make fun of you for that, too, because, Mark, it is one of my favorite things to do.
There you go.
That's Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show. Me?
Yeah.
Why? Because Mickey Callaway is funny and the Nets are a train wreck? I mean, it's true. They really are. They're one of the more enjoyable things
in all
of
professional
sports.
They're not worse than the Knicks.
Wow. That's tough. That's tough. They're both laughing
stocks.
That's
a poll question. It is.
I'd rather. Yeah, the Mets are better than the Knicks.
Yeah, I would say so, too. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Their general manager did just throw a chair in the meeting and said,
but they don't have
Bobby Knight threw a chair on the
press conference. Thank you.
Who's the DeGrom of the Knicks? And then who's the Syndergaard of the Knicks?
R.J. Barrett?
Come on.
He's not
lawyer.
And they're ripping this kid already because they say they don't work out enough.
They just signed Jacob DeGrom, and everyone's like, oh, they might just trade Jacob DeGrom. I don't really know. They might just have to trade him. Who wants to play for the Mets?
Who wants to play for the Knicks?
Anybody that's going to pay me, I guess I'll play over there. That works out.
Have they signed J.R. Smith yet?
No. There has not been a contract done for J.R. Smith yet.
Let me text my boy.
Why don't you talk to John Horst? Maybe we can get him on after he locks up that deal with J.R. Smith. Okay.
Better chance of getting the president on.
Big Show on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.